Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Meow.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hour number two begins right now with Danny Klingskill, as you heard, brought to you by our friends, our good friend Joe Spiker and his great crew at Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. You can find them online at EastonRoofing.com. Right now, take advantage of a free inspection, a free estimate. We've had a lot of thunderstorms going through, hard rain, some hail in a lot of places. We've had hail here at my house a couple of times. I know I'm good. I had my roof checked by Easton Roofing. They'll be happy to do the same for you. Nobody does a better job. Check out the Google reviews for Easton Roofing. You'll find out just how satisfied, how happy people are. Also, Angela's Super Service Award, four straight years, voted best of houses. You can make sure that the roof over your family's head is sound. If you've got some questions, old, worn-out roof, you're like, hey, I'm just not sure, take advantage. Like I said, free inspection, free estimate, and, of course, following all the guidelines to make sure that you're safe. Yes, absolutely, your family is safe, but also as well as their employees and their crew, making sure that Easton Roofing is absolutely the safest roofing company out there, following all the guidelines. You can call them today at 913-257-5426. There is nothing more essential than shelter. That means the roof over your head, and nobody protects that roof like the guys at Easton Roofing. Call today, 913-257-5426. Sam, the lovely Sam, she will probably be the first person you talk to, whether it's Joe or any of the guys that will be coming out to give you that estimate. Charles, Austin, Chris, Nan, a great crew, locally owned and operated, serving all the way out towards Topeka, Lawrence. They got you covered with Easton Roofing. Danny, welcome to the program. Good to speak to you, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm excellent, and excellent not to be on the guest line. I like the ability to almost be creeping towards face-to-face confrontation with Seren Petro, but this is a good first step, and I'm glad to be in the studio. Safe and sound here, socially distanced. Lots of things in place to keep you safe.
Yeah, you like the new motorcycle windscreen to separate folks there?
I do.
The hockey boards, you know?
I do. Very nice, yeah.
Yeah, don't I Drake did say, don't check anybody up against the glass because it's probably not going to handle that.
Probably not. It looks like it's sort of just leaning. It looks like there's a place for screws to go in there, but they're not screwed in. So looks nice and sturdy enough, though.
And grab a screwdriver, snob.
I think I can see actually why not, because the holes for the screws for this particular thing extend outside of the wood.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't do anything.
Yeah. So there it is. You'd be screwing into nothing.
Yes.
So good plan.
It's
good plan.
To be a base.
Yeah, I like it. All right, I want to start with the golf. How excited are you for Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady? Does this catch your fancy or no?
Strangely enough, it catches my fancy a little bit more than the four real golfers who played last week, which I did watch. But this is going to have a little more, you know, and it's kind of a novelty act anyway, so why not have more of a novelty of having a couple of amateur players in there? I think probably of differing skill levels. I think most people believe that Peyton Manning is a better player than Tom Brady. And the other thing that is intriguing is that the last six holes are going to be alternate shot. So their shots are going to count. I mean, it's not like it's best ball and they can put the ball in their pocket. They're going to, you know, Tiger Woods is going to hit a drive and then, lo and behold, it's going to have to be Peyton Manning, or what is it? No, Phil. Yeah, or Phil hits the drive, and then Peyton Manning's going to have to hit the shot. And if he hits,
no, it's Tiger and Peyton, isn't it?
Tiger. I'm trying to think up of the yes, because when he talked about the major championships, that's what I was. When he was talked about the major championships, he said it evened it up because Tiger has 15 and he has two.
Can we mark the tape on how I knew more about golf?
There you go.
on this moment.
Mark,
very good.
Please. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
I think it'll be entertaining because I think Peyton Manning's entertaining. I also think, you know, I don't know that Brady's entertaining, but I think Phil and Tiger can be entertaining guys as well. So, and you get multiple people, that's several quick wits working together on it. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be interesting. Can you tell me why we don't have golf already? Because it seems like, you know, maybe more than any sport, like if nothing else, have the field, you know, and instead of playing twosomes, just play solos.
Well, they are going to start first. I mean, they are going to start pretty soon. So among the major sports in this country, they're playing in a couple weeks. I don't know if they wanted to be that early. I think there were also some issues with the municipalities that the tournaments were located in, that they were not open for play or not open for gatherings of this sort. Because it still takes, I think they say there's about 900 people on property for a full PGA Tour event. So I think that was the issue. And we'll see how it goes. Yes, the sport is very much attuned to keeping your distance and things like that. But there are still issues there. And there's a lot of concern about the players. I mean, from the players. Adam Scott announced, I think yesterday, he's not going to play till the end of July because he didn't think the things that were put in place were strong enough. So I think there are a variety of issues, but we'll see in a couple of weeks they'll be starting up.
I'm fine with anybody who doesn't want to play, right? I'm still sitting at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I you know, I think everyone's got their choice. It just seems to me that if NASCAR could get it up and running, golf should have been the first one. And I mean, if you got to go to a different course, like they wouldn't take you. Like to me, it seems like, and these guys are such honorable guys, right? Do we need a steward sitting at every 8 feet? I mean, there's no fans to get out of the way when a ball goes out of bounds. I mean, couldn't we all play on the honor system and get things going?
I think there's just more logistics there than we realized to run a golf tournament.
I'm sure.
And I think that was it, because I think they would have wanted to come back. But I also think probably there was, I didn't hear anybody say this or anything else, but I think there was a perception issue of wanting to be too soon. Yeah, NASCAR had kind of, you know, NASCAR is a kind of a unique thing anyway. They're really isolated, although the pit crews certainly aren't. But the driver's in a car, and he's going quite fast. I can't give you a 100% answer as to why it wasn't a little bit earlier. I'm just, you know, coming up with a few things. I think between the municipalities not wanting maybe to have them, it isn't that easy to just say we're going to up and play a PGA Tour event at so-and-so place, even without fans, and the perception issue, I think, and the player, you know, getting the protocols in place and having them improved by the players. And also the testing. They didn't want, you know, they wanted to do at least a fairly decent amount of testing, 2 to 3 times a week, and ramping it up so you have that many tests is still going to be an issue all across the board, I think, from the MLS idea in Orlando and every place else.
Peter Vermees did confirm to us, and that's what's interesting to me, is Peter Vermees confirmed that, yes, they have all their tests. Sporting Kansas City went out and procured their own tests.
You just wonder how many they have. You know, like they have this unlimited supply of tests. If they're going to test every other day or something, you know, it's a lot of players. I think they said it's 1,200 players times, you know, it's a lot of tests anyway.
Think about college football.
Oh, I know. That's why I think probably going to go ahead and take some leaps of faith and just hope that we won't get the kind of negative results that are certainly very possible. Very possible.
Did you hear the comments we were playing from Bob Bowlesby?
I did.
Earlier this week?
Yes, and I saw him he was on Get Up this morning with Mike Greenberg, and he had a lengthy interview there as well. Yeah, I think he was basically running a bunch of semi-doomsday scenarios out there to get people prepared for that. I think he probably thinks even more strongly than he stated, but he doesn't want to be the negator, and I think his conference cohorts probably don't want him to be the negator. So I think he is trying to get people prepared for, you know, the whole thing seems, you know, like we're talking about 120 players per team in a contact sport, you know, with coaching that's aggressive and in your face generally, officials who many times are of the age that's really, you know, vulnerable. So I think there's a tremendous amount of issues, and I certainly don't see how, you know, as of 2 weeks ago, they were talking like they could just play and have fans and everything. And that's almost, that ship almost has to have sailed by now, but we'll see.
Yeah, I do appreciate Bob Bowlsby being honest and upfront, and I think it gives me confidence to know that he's thought this all the way through. Yeah, you know, that there are smart people. I wish our politicians could do a better job of this. But you know, we can all, our imaginations can run wild and we can think of issues. So, you know, if you can't point out some of the potential issues that are out there, why would I listen to you?
I agree with that. And when you have people in it was a politician, so I will not be taking any political side, but a politician in the state of Kansas actually ran this quote out yesterday. Financial security is every bit as important as health security. So in other words, dying is okay in a situation where our economy gets protected a little bit. I mean, at least choose your words a little more carefully.
Yeah, I would agree that was probably not the best collection. Yeah, the best way to put it. Listen, there is.
I mean, say financial security is an important aspect of our society, and health concerns are vitally important, or any way you want to say it besides they're equally important.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and rework this.
Yeah, okay? I'm dead, but I do have money in the checking account.
Yeah, but my heirs.
My family's
my
all
heirs have some money. So anyway.
Yeah, that was probably not the best phrasing where you were going. We all understand that, look, we need an economy that's up and running. And that's the devil's in the details, right? That's the question. How much can it suffer? How much of a hit can it take for health? There is, you know, Todd Lebo made a great point to me. He said, listen, we know there's a price on a life. We know what it is. Just ask any insurance company. They'll tell you exactly what it is. You know, they'll give you what it is. And in reality, for our country, that is true. On any one given individual, no, it's priceless. Ask their family. But for the country as a whole, yes, we know we've sent people off to war, knowing full well they're not all coming back. We do it all the time. So it's difficult. I mean, these are difficult times.
But in our particular world that we're talking about, this is entertainment, okay?
Yes.
Now, what is driving this, if this was pure entertainment and everybody was getting paid and they were still reaping all the television money and gate receipts, however they were doing that, even though they weren't playing games, I don't think we'd be playing games anytime soon. I don't think it is, you know, all this stuff about, well, we need normalcy and we need our games and it's good for the public psyche. Yeah, that's true. But if there weren't significant dollars here being driven, I don't think we would be seeing things ramping up as quickly, nearly as quickly.
Well, we know they're not ramping up. You know, my kid's softball.
Right.
there's no money attached to it, so we're not going with that. No, absolutely, the money is what's driving the bus. I don't think there's any way around that. That's definitely what's going on here. What do you make? Do you think MLB and MLBPA are going to get it together?
Yeah, I do. I think there's just too much. You know, I can see significant amounts of players saying I'm not going to play. I mean, not enough to affect, you know, teams not being able to field a squad or anything, but I think that given the length of the season and maybe a veteran player has made a lot of money in his career already and he's got some concerns at home, I can see some guys saying I'm not showing. But yes, I do think they will work it out.
And do you think the players will back off, or do you think the owners will say, okay, we've got to pay them what it is?
I think there'll be some movement, but most of it's going to have to come from the owners. But they're the ones who probably have the most to lose here by not playing at all. I think the future of the game it will be hurt. You know, they've made a lot of money the last 4 years, so if they're crying super poor, that's a lie. But I think there's a lot of things they know are at stake. You know, you're talking about other sports that are improving in their perception in this country, like soccer. You're talking about the NFL not going anywhere backwards as far as their impact on the sports world. Right here in Kansas City, the Royals have to really want to play some baseball badly. You know, the hottest football team on wheels is playing across the parking lot, and you could become mighty insignificant pretty fast, if not considering how already you're fairly insignificant, if you're not even playing.
I thought the comments from Mike Matheny were pretty good. They kind of made me think, because I definitely believe the players should get the money, the prorated portion.
I agree, too. I agree with that, too.
And we've talked about it. You and I are one of a handful that actually side with the players generally on these types of things. But I thought he made a great point when he said, listen, we had him on, Mike Matheny, on earlier this week, and he said, you know, I said, it's a difficult spot for you because you've got, you know, now your management, you know, you're a former player, as all are most managers, but you got players, and because I think Cash did a terrible job down in Tampa of handling the Blake Snell comments. You know, Andy Reid always does a good job. Andy Reid was deferential today to Aaron Donald, not even one of his own players. He made sure to not say anything that could be considered stepping on Aaron Donald's toes, which then could be considered stepping on players' toes. But Matheny said, look, here's the thing I tell him is there's $4 billion that are coming out of the game. You know, that's the estimate right now. And that's going to trickle down somewhere. And I thought that was a great point that, like, you're not going to get out of this, you know, one way or another. Either you maybe give a little now, or you're going to end up taking a hit next year. They're going to be hell-bent for something next year, or the next CBA is going to be an absolute dogfight. And so with the CBA looming at the end of the 21 season, I like Buster Olney's idea. Sit down, figure this out, and stay at the table, and just roll the financial hit on into the next collective bargaining agreement. Make 20 and 21 part of the new agreement. I think that's the smartest thing both sides can do.
I think it is, too, because I don't think, you know, you come back, say they do come back in July, and the game is you know, embraced in a great way, and there's an exciting playoffs, and maybe by that time there's fans in the stands, whatever. And then, you know, 18 months later or less than that, you're battling at the bargaining table. I mean, it's just a horrendous look. I agree. There's a lot of things that baseball can't afford right now from that standpoint, and certainly that would be one of them. And I think if they did that right now, or at least in this off season, there'll still be extenuating circumstances from this. I mean, packed stadium, when do you think we're going to just see 100%, you know, sellout crowd allowed?
2 years.
Yeah, I would think. Or even if they're allowed, are people actually going to show up in those kind of numbers and sit as Bob Bowlesby, I think?
No, I mean, I'm taking that into account that, right, you know, even when it is, I think you need a full-on vaccination that works and that we know works. I think there are going to be some people that it's like, well, okay, you know, we get one that works pretty good. You know, I think, you know, Bob Bowlesby, again, I come back and I feel good that Big 12 is finally in professional, intelligent hands. And leadership quality hands. Not that other people haven't been smart guys or professionals, but, you know, he speaks like a leader, and that always comforts me to know that there's an intelligent guy running something. But, you know, I thought his line, we've got to learn to, he goes, by everyone I've talked to, we're going to have to learn to live with the virus. And that got that spun my head, and think about this. Why not move the season up? Let's pick that up. Well, Danny Klingseal is with us, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. It's Danny Unleashed. Easton Roofing, fine sponsor of DannyKlingseal.com, where you can find all of Danny's great work. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. Call Joe and his team at 913-257-5426, residential and commercial roofer. They collect no payment until they're until you're 100% satisfied. Project manager on every site. They are the best in the business. Just check out their Google reviews. They will back that up. Find them online at eastonroofing.com or call 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing, integrity matters.
The program with Soren Petrov.
Yes, I like bacon on whatever because bacon is pure. It is bacon. It is wonderful. Everybody likes bacon.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense into the hour answer. From 1988 through 2003. That encompasses Jerry Sloan's first year in Utah through Karl Malone's last year in Utah. The Jazz had a 651 winning percentage. Where did that rank in the NBA over those 15 seasons?
Number one. Yeah.
Lakers, Spurs, Suns, and Blazers round out the top five.
Yeah, Jazz were, they're a tremendous team. I don't like the idea that, oh, Jordan kept so many great players that would have otherwise won championships. Yeah, that, so does every great player. Magic and Bird kept a lot of good players from winning championships. You know, I mean, that's how it works.
I think Ernie Els has finished second to Tiger in six majors.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a several anyway.
And there's probably someone who finished second to Jack Nicklaus.
His 19 second places.
He finished second a lot too.
His 18 championships. Right. At some point, I'm sure there was half a dozen guys who would have been, you know.
Right. I think Tom Weisskopf
lost three or four.
Only won one. Finished second three or four.
But I just don't like when it's like, you know, there were great players that didn't play for the Celtics when they were winning all those championships. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like they act like, well, it's the only time ever. God, just sucks. Any other time, Barkley and Karl Malone and Clyde Drexler, they'd all have titles. There's a loser in every series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Jerry West, what, made the finals 9 out of 12 years, and I think they won twice, maybe?
Mm.
Yeah.
LeBron James going up against the Warriors. Turns out they have some guys who can hoop also.
Yeah. The one that LeBron is always going to want back is losing to the Mavericks in his first year down at the Heat.
Yep.
And I get it, it's because they hadn't really put it all together. They hadn't played together as long. I mean, it's not like a disgrace. I'm not saying like, oh, my God, how could you possibly lose to it? That was a really good Mavericks team and had a Hall of Fame player in
Dirk
Nowitzki.
Yeah. But it was great for him to get a title.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and totally validated his career. But that's the one of your LeBron, like, oh,
yeah. The one in 14, you lost to a generational coach and trio of players. I mean, that 14 Spurs team and – it was a coming out party of the one of the next big stars in Kawhi Leonard. That's a little, you can get a little bit more glory losing to that team than you could that 11 Mavericks team.
Yeah, no, the 11 Mavericks team, they're going to be like, oh, God, that's the one. Like, if he sits there and he has five championships when it's all said and done.
And a three-peat.
He has three now.
Yeah.
You know, if he comes up one short from Jordan six, like, that's the one he's going to be like.
Could have had six, could have had a three-peat. That's the one, yeah.
But then again, he really kind of stole the one with the Cavs.
Yeah.
Like, if Draymond Green didn't lose his mind and get thrown out of the game, like, the Warriors, I think everybody agrees the Warriors were the better team in that one.
Yeah, if not for the block, you know, it was
Oh, he did
play,
it all. He earned it.
But to
me, that championship is the one that Jordan doesn't have. Doesn't mean – you know, LeBron's better, but Jordan doesn't have that one. Like, who was the second fiddle on that LeBron one? Kevin Love? I love Kevin Love, the player, because I coach basketball and I like seeing the game played a certain way. I like his diversity and everything, but Kevin Love is.
Was
Kevin
Irving
Love.
Still on that? Was Kyrie
yeah,
still on
Kyrie
that?
Yeah, Kyrie could ball. He hit the big shot.
I guess I have never put Kyrie Irving up there.
I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, but he was damn good in that series.
Yeah, he was.
Well, you don't go to the NBA Finals with LeBron and the company that's on this microphone right now. Okay, so it's a given
that
there's
seven.
I mean, it's a given that there are some guys that can play the game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that goes with it. It's like, well, this guy was good. Well, yeah, they're in the finals. I mean, they don't suck. I got it.
That series,
but the only team that sucked was that Knicks team after the shortened year.
Yeah, the 99 team, the 8 seed.
That series, though, specifically, Kyrie was very good, and he hit the biggest shot of the series. So to act like he was just some bum is unfair.
Why is he a bum?
Because it's 0 or 100, Seren. You obviously are saying he sucks. I know what you're doing.
I was waiting for one of these two sides to bring up that point.
Listen, we operated on a higher plane over here, by the way.
Hey,
on a higher plane.
I'm on a higher plane, too. Maybe not your plane, but certainly a higher
plane.
Tastes
great. Less
yeah,
filling.
I have no doubt about that. Quick sidebar, Danny. Are you binge-watching anything?
No.
Really?
I'm not a binge-watcher. It's not like I'm not watching a lot of different... If you want to put something in a category of things I'm binge-watching, I'm watching a lot of music documentaries.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
For whatever reason, for quite a while, it was just like this unattainable little goal. We didn't have Access TV on our cable, whatever our tier, and my wife didn't want to pay any more money, and so I'd have to look at the grid every time because it's right next to the golf channel on the grid, and it'd be like, classic albums, the making of, you know, Led Zeppelin 4. And then I'd click on it and go, you don't have this. Well, anyway, all of a sudden it just popped on. It's just on. I don't know if they gave you a little coronavirus kiss or something.
Great.
And so I haven't seen any of these things. You know, the making of these great albums, documentaries, a good interview show with a horrible name that Dan Rather
Dan
does.
Dan Rather, yeah.
Calls The Big Interview.
The Big
Interview.
Couldn't
you do better than that? I mean, come on.
That's not important right now. I was going to ask Danny, what's it like not being able to watch entire rounds of golf on tape? 6 hours after they've been completed.
Well, there's
which
old,
we all know is
there's
something
old
you like
golf
to
tournaments. I watch a lot of old soccer games because I don't know the results of them.
Mm.
So that's something I'm also binge watching. On Saturdays they show those little half hour highlight packages of the past of the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
on Sunday they show entire matches, and some of them are from like 2008 or 2009 or 2012, and I don't know who won them. And so it's great. It's just like I'm watching them live. It's fantastic. So the golf tournaments, I know who won. So and also they put it on the damn thing on the screen. You know, they put it up there on the preview. It'll say 2009 PGA Championship. Phil Mickelson hauls down the title at Medina, and I'm like, why did you do that? I'm not watching now. You screwed it. You screwed it up.
You're out. By the way, you see, not knowing the results years ago. This is I'm not going to tell my friend's name, but back when my dad was still alive. A friend of mine was over, and they were watching an old Ali fighter. So some old fight was on. It was in its entirety. And we're just sitting there watching it. And at some point, my dad and I realized that my friend doesn't know it's an old fight. And he's like going, oh, man, so-and-so this. Oh, you know, he needs to do this. He needs to do it. Dad and I kind of looked at each other like, let's just sit here and watch the rest of the fight and not let him know that this thing's 15 years old.
I had an acquaintance in high school. When the Bruins started to become good in hockey, the local UHF affiliate had the rights, which was great. You know, you get all the games. But when they played on the West Coast, they didn't figure it was worth showing the games. Then they'd show them the next day at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in the seventh grade or something. His little brother was in the fourth grade, and he would bet him. And his brother would take the bets. And he would, like, give him, like, you know, a couple goals or what. I mean, he'd make it, you know, like, so the guy could not pick.
Yeah.
You know, and
force
it,
him
it
to
took,
one side.
It took, like, 6 or 7 straight games of him losing before the little fella caught on to the fact that he knew the result.
Wait a minute.
I am proud to say that I finished season 4 of Breaking Bad last night.
Yeah, I found it would take me a long time to do those things because I'm about a 2-episode limit of about anything when I'm sitting.
Oh, God, no.
No, I can't do that. I'll have to switch to something else because my wife has a few Netflix series that she likes that I like also, and she can go maybe 3-4. I can't do it. I can't.
I have to force myself to go to bed. I have to be like, all right, that's it. Otherwise, you're not going to be getting up till whenever.
I know that everybody is raves about Ozark, and I'm sure it's a very good show.
Great. It's fantastic.
But for people around here, I've heard, don't they refer to St. Joseph as St. Joe's throughout the
year? Yeah, they're
oh, really?
Well, there are people that call it St. Joe's around here.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I've got people that call it St. Joe's. I've heard that as a gripe. One of the other gripes is that they're in Ozark and St. Joe is like across the way, you know.
Oh, right.
They shrink it down to where it's like, you know, real close by. But it's like, you know what? Like, have you ever seen any movie in Vegas? Like, they don't have the hotels where they really are.
Exactly.
You know, did you see Ocean's 11? They're not, they do not share a vault underneath Las Vegas Boulevard between the Bellagio, the MGM, and the Mirage. Okay? That's not how it works. Like, it's a movie, jackass. It's not a documentary.
There are skyline pictures of Las Vegas on the internet. Just look at it.
You know, was the one, Con Air, where with, oh, what's his name?
Kevin.
No.
Nicholas
Cage. Nicholas Cage, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I called him Kevin for some reason.
Yeah, you know, the plane crashes, you know, along Las Vegas Boulevard, and at some point goes through a tunnel. Have you seen a tunnel on the Strip? there is the tunnel is over by the airport. You know, it's like you got to go with it. It's a movie.
Right.
Again,
right.
Like I'm saying, it's called fiction. Like, don't be like, this is ridiculous.
Famously, John Wayne only directed a couple of movies, but one of them was The Green Beret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember it.
And the movie closed with the sun setting in the east.
Wow. Did it really?
Yes.
It's like Ted, you know? I'm like, stuffed animals can't talk. He's funny, but that's clearly not real.
Although I do pay attention to continuity mistakes. I think those are fun to look at. Like you'll see a scene and the guy's got a quarter of a glass of beer,
yeah.
And then he's got a three quarters of a glass of beer, and the next shot, you're like,
IMDb is great for that. Every movie there's like 15 mistakes.
Yeah. Come on, do better.
Yeah, isn't that what they call Easter eggs?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
and there's a scene in The Shining where there's a chair on the wall behind him, and Nicholson, there's a chair, and then they cut back, and the chair's gone, and they cut back, and the chair's there again, and they cut back, and the chair's gone. It's like, what? Who missed that?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. I saw one of those sites, you know, that has you click next, one of those turn sites, and
yeah.
I'm like, I got roped into it, and like, I guess in one of the Lord of the Rings, the wizard's wearing a watch. You know?
Yeah, those are pretty common, but that happens in Westerns and stuff like that back in the day.
There's a bottle of water on a table in one of the episodes of Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
A bottle?
An Evian bottle sitting on the table.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Yeah, we missed that.
Yeah.
My bad. We should have gotten that picked up. Hey, listen, if they're smart enough to figure out that they're going to start moving up classes, we mentioned Notre Dame and Syracuse. That story's written about how they're doing this. Syracuse is adding more classes to Friday and Saturday classes. They're eliminating fall break. They're starting at the regular time. They're eliminating fall break, and then they're going to be done with the semester at Thanksgiving. Notre Dame's starting on August 10th. They're moving up, eliminating fall break. They're going to be done at Thanksgiving time. Why aren't we moving up the college football season?
I think there's a combination of some of the things I talked about previously, that people are the logistics of it plus the perception aspect of it.
What perception?
Don't they have? I think there's some people who think that things shouldn't just be opening up so fast.
Once they're open, like I'm not saying we should have been like, okay, the NCAA tournament's canceled, and by the way, football practice starts tomorrow.
Right.
But now we sit where we are. We're getting a better understanding of what's going on. They're planning on it, right? If you're planning on it for the fall, then you think that there's a window where you can get this done. I mean, I'll say the same thing about the NFL.
Those are both private schools.
True.
Not ones in state. You know, the state of California, for instance, already, I think they already canceled fall classes, I believe. Now, you know, they're just going to do online classes.
The Cal State system,
yeah, not like UCLA or whatever. But so I think there's part of that these are state institutions. So at Notre Dame and Syracuse, they probably well could start playing football, and then in the end, maybe have a competitive advantage and all that other stuff. So I think I just think there's a lot of complications, but I do think now that states are starting to say you can do this, maybe you shouldn't, but you can. That I think there's going to be a lot of momentum, probably, and in some cases, probably too much momentum to do things and do them fast. I said it before. We've talked about this before. We went through situations where people had to, you know, ration for an entire war, world war, years. We got stuck inside for 2 months and were, you know, ready to kill ourselves. I mean, I didn't like it. I don't like it either. But, you know, the patience level is not high. I'll say that.
I would agree. Listen, I know there are people that are like, I can't work and I can't pay the bills. And I get
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem. Though that's the reason why you have to get things going are the people who are like, I can't, man. Like, I got three kids and you know, we both work, and that's what it takes to put a roof over our head and put food on our table. Like, there's no retirement plan. This is it. Our retirement plan is
absolutely
work till I die, and so I got to have it. I totally get that.
But that's not like, that's not like cranking up the NBA playoffs.
Right, but I will say this. I do, and maybe this is more social commentary than I should make. I don't think you're one of those people if you own a $9,000 assault rifle.
Yeah.
I can't disagree with that.
That you're taking onto the steps of a court, of a federal building, or a, you know, whatever it is.
State capitol.
I'll only say this just because it's funny. There was a cartoon the other day. It was of a man who said, I'm not going to wear a mask because I'm not a freaking snowflake. And he was carrying an assault rifle and wearing body armor.
Okay.
I do get the irony in that one. Fantastic. So you're not afraid of anything, but you're wearing body armor.
Bring on the virus. I'll shoot it.
Bingo.
That's a good one. That's a good one to break on. We'll come back. You're the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Show me a man who doesn't love meat, and I'll show you a person that's not very happy in life.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. By the way, I forgot to mention, Good Sense is what we gave away in our last segment. GoodSenseSubs.com. Put your order in on the way home or this weekend. They'll be happy to get everything ready for you. And don't forget about those Good Sense to-go meals. Really, really been popular with folks. It's a full meal, just $5. It's great for taking meals over to any family members you're watching out for. Grilled Alaskan salmon, classic pot roast, lasagna, naked chicken and veggies, meatloaf. They're wonderful pastas. They're just $5. All you got to do is pop them in and heat them up. It's the Good Sense to-go meals. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com. Make sure you're a part of that loyalty club. Easton Roofing, our proud sponsor of Danny Unleashed,
yes.
Here in the program. Proud sponsor of DannyClingScale.com. Yeah, go ahead, Danny.
Just a quick side note. The Kansas City Profiles presented by Easton Roofing is on Fridays, and today is Dayton Moore is the Kansas City Profile. Hmm. So get to know Dayton Moore. The whole idea behind it is not, you know, he won the World Series, this and that. It's more about background, childhood, parental guidance, things like that.
Right.
So great segment with Dayton, and thanks to him for taking time in an incredibly busy schedule.
Yeah, he is, and a good guy, and always great. That's awesome. I'll have to check that one out, DannyClingScale.com. Of course, Easton Roofing, one of the proud sponsors there. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com today. Danny, they've now, the news came down from the NCAA just a little bit ago. All sports are now open. Starting on June 1, according to the NCAA, and it's, of course, for voluntary workouts. Voluntary workouts.
Yeah, well, yes.
How voluntary do you think these are?
Not much. I mean, you're a college football player. It's voluntary. You only have a tiny window of time to play college football. This could be your senior year. It could be your junior year. You're not going to show up.
Yeah.
I would say that that's, yeah, not very voluntary.
There is, in our mailroom here, there is a sign that says, you know, it's like office things. We didn't put it up there. It was one of the things you can go buy at a store. It talks about, like, office parties. If it says optional, it really isn't optional. You need to go. That's an office Christmas party. Can you imagine the pressure of an athlete trying to make a Division I football team or basketball team?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Particularly if Mike Gundy's your coach.
Yes.
Lincoln Riley's your coach, it might be optional. If Mike Gundy's your coach, you think you're going to play for Mike Gundy if you're not there June 1?
I don't think so. I mean, no. To say that he was at the forefront of wanting to return would be a giant, not a giant exaggeration.
No, it would not. So I think it'll be interesting to see how many, you know, do we lose any players along this, you know? I actually could see some of the first-round pick guys saying, you know what, I don't need this. All I got to do is be a year older. They know who I am, so I think it'll be interesting. Danny, great talking to you as always, buddy. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, great to be back in the studio. Thanks, Aaron.
You bet. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Go to eastonroofing.com. Joe Spiker and his crew, absolutely the best. Just check out their Google reviews. You'll see how popular they are.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, two Royals pitchers have won 18 games in a season and thrown a no-hitter in the same season. Steve Busby's one. Who's the other? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.